Good morning, everyone. As we settle in, it's so good to see you here this morning, and it's so good to be able to meet in person. We've been experiencing some of what our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries experience, where they can't get together in person, where government entities are shutting churches down and even destroying them. But we live in a country yet that we have the freedom to worship, and we're so thankful for it. Glad to see everyone here this morning. We are in uncertain times. We have trials and troubles in our country. We're divided, and it seems to me it's along moral lines. So we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We have this virus that's affecting the whole world, and we're trying to stay safe during it. But that's in God's hands also. But it's so good to be in His house praising Him this morning. I just want to praise Him for all He has done for us, the many answers to prayer. And we're also saddened that one of us, Sally, has left us. But we're also joyful because she's experiencing heaven for the first time. We trust in that. And we know that our only hope is in Christ. And we are all destined to die once, then after that, the judgment. Are you ready? There are many who think that, well, I'm good enough. I think I'm good enough. I try to be what I ought to be. Oh, this person is a religious person. We just heard a message on the way here this morning about religion. And religion actually can keep you from God. Because it makes you reliant on what you do rather than what He, Christ, has done for us. So in these times, we don't know what lies ahead. We have an election coming, too, that may affect a lot of our lives. We don't know the outcome. But the biggest thing that's bothering most people today, and it's evident in how small our numbers are, is the coronavirus. And God's got that under His control, too. But I want to read a little piece of Scripture this morning. It's from Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I had an experience this morning I've had before. I want to share it again. You may soon get sick of hearing it, but we have these little creatures out there who they don't know what's going on. They don't know there's a virus out there. They don't know about the turmoil in our nation or in other nations. They only know that they take one day at a time. I went out this morning. I have a bird feeder. It's in right now, but I got a platform out there that I put some feed out on. And I went out there this morning, and as soon as I got out there, and you may think I'm nuts, but I'll go a couple times. I'll go chickadee-dee, chickadee-dee-dee, and they just start coming down from the trees. Now, God has put the fear of man into animals and other creatures, but they can still learn to trust. And I go out there, and they're coming down through the limbs, so I just put this little Tupperware container up like this. And hey, they come down, they'll land on it, and they'll grab seed, and they'll go up in the limb to eat it. Well, this morning, put my hand out there, and the first little guy come from nowhere. He just comes zipping right in, landed on the far side of that little Tupperware container facing me and broke out into singing. It's just amazing. I think of God, how He designed these creatures to praise Him. And I'm sitting there with this little dinky bird about that high, sitting on the edge of that thing, looking me right in the eye and singing. And it brought such a joy to to my heart. I had to think of what it's going to be like in the kingdom of heaven, where we'll share with all God's creatures the joy that we seldom see here on this earth. But that was just a little bitty example of what we got looking forward to us if we trust in our Lord and Savior. And I pray that one of our members who's left us has gone to be with the Lord, that she's experiencing that joy right now. Thank you. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for us and to pave the way for us who are unworthy people, Lord, into your joyous kingdom. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that by thy Holy Spirit's work within each and every one of us, that we will be able to express that joy even now, even in this world of turmoil. You've given us a place here where we still have peace. We can listen in the quiet of the evening and enjoy your nature, Lord, the work of your hands. So we pray, Lord, this morning as we worship you, Lord, that you fill our hearts with joy. Give us your word in full measure and help us to live by your word day in and day out, Lord. And we'll praise you into eternity. In Jesus' precious, holy name, amen.
Well, good morning. This is an odd church service, but very necessary. It's yet another reaction to the COVID virus and funeral homes being limited and restrictions on crowd sizes. And so we're really going to spend the majority of our time celebrating that dear lady that left us. But in the process of doing that, we're going to examine our own lives, because we need to learn from one another. And in fact, I didn't learn what I needed to learn from our dear Sally until the explanation point was put at the end of the story. And as I began to speak with the ladies and understand what her impact was on them, this quiet little saint came to life for me. She had an impact on me before that, but to hear the stories that surrounded her life gave me hope. You know, when you're a pastor and someone leaves, the first thought you have is, how am I going to give hope to those that are behind? Am I going to just speak to those that are still alive and briefly discuss the one who's departed? Or am I going to be able to point at the life of the one that departed and convey hope that way instead of the alternative? And I'm delighted to know where this young lady went, and we'll share a whole lot about that. So I want to read some scripture to you. Then I saw a new heaven, Revelation 21:1, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is now with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more." And death is a cruel enemy anyway. No matter what your expectation is for the next life, It's just a cruel enemy. And so sadness and tears are expected. But those tears are going to be wiped away. And I want you to be comforted by that. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this soon will pass, this life. But as for right now, in the meanwhile, we will praise you. The Lord gives, as your word says, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to read some lyrics to you. And we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to focus all of our attention for the balance of our time together on this dear lady that we are rejoicing with, who's now joined that cloud of witnesses in heaven. She's looking down over the balcony of heaven, watching what you and I are going to do with our lives now. But we're going to sing a chorus together. Mary and Don are going to come in a second here to sing Through It All by Andre Crouch. And his lyrics essentially say, I've been through a lot in life. I didn't know right from wrong at some point, and it's true, and his testimony bears that out. But God always sent his blessed consecration, his blessed consolation, rather. And all of the things that he went through, he then says, he goes to the chorus, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. So Donna and Mary, would you come and let's join together, you and I, all of us, singing just the chorus, the refrain, through it all. Now, and we think about Sally. We thank you for her life. We thank you for bringing her our way. We thank you for all the interactions that she had, many interactions with some of us, briefly with others. But we thank you for what she stood for. We thank you for what she believed. And we thank you for how she loved the ones that were near to her. And we just praise your name. You said our days were numbered before there was one of them, and you chose that day for her to leave us. And we rejoice in your decision, though we are broken in heart. And we thank you now for the rest of this time. Please have put your hand on it, that we might all be encouraged and heal a little bit through this process in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to take some time for reflections from the family and friends, and I've asked Mary to start us out. Okay, very good. Troy, Sally's son, is going to speak, and then Mary, and if others have things that they want to share, please come forward. That's what this time is for. We do not have a limit on the time. So, Troy.
Good morning. It's been a crazy week. First of all, I just want you all to know how much you meant to my mom. She spoke of this church and especially those four ladies in the back very highly. She loved this church with all her heart. Pastor Jay asked me to say some things about my mom, and I was thinking this morning, trying to come up with just one thing, and that's extremely difficult. My mom taught me a lot about faith. I don't know if a lot of you know my family's past, but my sister was hit and killed by a drunk driver when she was 19 years old, but my mom's faith never wavered. My brother was killed in a hunting accident 3 days before his 15th birthday. My mom's faith never wavered. She watched my dad deteriorate from cancer and pass away, but her faith never wavered. She watched her son turn to drugs and turn away from her, but her faith never wavered. She taught me what faith is, and that is what is giving me the most comfort right now, is that faith that I will see my family again in heaven, and that my mom is with my dad, my brother, my sister, my grandma, and that I will see them all again someday. I don't understand why this happened. I probably never will. But I have to trust that God has a plan. And that is what is carrying me through right now. Trying to think of one thing about my mom to talk about, and one thing keeps coming to mind. After my dad passed away, I turned to drugs. I was an opiate addict. And my mom never turned her back on me. She never judged me. She was always there for me. And one day I hit rock bottom. I was living down in Georgia at the time, and I knew I needed help, and I couldn't do it on my own. So I called my mom and told her, "Mom, I need help." The next day, my mom put a second mortgage on her house and had me on a plane to a rehab facility in California. If it weren't for that woman, I would not be here right now. I guarantee you, I would have died of an overdose. There's no doubt in my mind. That woman saved my life. My mom was one of the greatest people I have ever known in my life, and I will miss her dearly, and I will live every day to honor her memory. The only thing that I ask is that you please, please take this virus seriously. Wear a mask, wash your hands, social distance, because no family should have to go through what my family is going through right now. And I just want to thank all of you for your outpouring of support and love that you have shown me and my family. It will never be forgotten, and it is appreciated beyond measure. So thank you.
I can't work without notes. But John and I moved up here about 7.5 years ago, and Sally was one of the first gals that I met. And for the last however long I've known Sally now, I've spent almost 3 days a week, every week, with Sally. We got into a routine, and you know how you like your routines, right? I don't know how anybody can sum up a friendship in 5 minutes. I'm certainly not going to be able to do that, but I can hopefully give you a glimpse of who she was. When I first met Sally, we were all going to Calvary, and Calvary's right around, I mean, the Family Inn is right around about 6 blocks from my house. So they had this Tuesday morning breakfast that a lot of the girls would go to, and so I said to John one morning, I said, I'm going to ride my bike over there and see, you know, new girls, new people, didn't know how I would be accepted or whatever. And Sally was a staple at that breakfast. She sat here, Vicky sat there, I sat here, we had our spot, okay? Nobody sat in Sally's spot. She was the quiet one. We would go to breakfast and she would listen. Everybody would talk, Sally would listen. And I got to the point where I would poke her with my elbow and I'd say, you know, you can join in. You can talk to us and tell us how you know, about your week, whatever. She's, no, I like to listen. She's, I don't need to do all the talking. I just like to listen. So, but I learned early on that when she did talk, I wanted to hear what she was saying. I learned it at breakfast, and then I learned it later. She didn't say much, but when she did, you wanted to hear it. She was very wise. She's an encourager. She was, to anybody who knew her. But from the breakfast came our Bible study that we started about, well, it'll be 6 years in February that we've been meeting together. Six. Jeannie Isetz, which some of you know, made up her mind that we should all get together for a Bible study. She was living at Willow Creek at that point, and we could use the day room, and we just thought that she just thought that this should happen. So it did. And Sally was there from the very beginning. They made up their mind that I should lead this Bible study, and I'm thinking, why me? Okay, there's a lot of other girls that could have done that, and Sally could have led that Bible study in a heartbeat for all the wisdom that she knew and all the scripture that she knew, and just her whole demeanor, she could have. But Sally was not one to be in the forefront. She wanted to be an encourager. She wanted to be in the background. If you needed somebody, she was there. She was your girl. She gave me suggestions early on about what we should study or what I should bring to the table. And then she kind of fell away from that. And she said, you don't need me. She said, you're doing a fine job. And I want you to know that I think that was the one and only time that Sally was wrong. Because I did need her. I needed her to know that she was there. She was a rock. She was a rock, like Troy said, in her beliefs and in her faith. And she shared that with me and all the girls. They can all tell you the same thing. She never needed the spotlight, never wanted the spotlight. So Then from the Bible study came our card night. So we met for breakfast on Tuesday morning. We met for Bible study and always went to lunch on Wednesdays. And then Friday night, we started playing hand and foot. And this happened every Friday night. Someone would bring a main dish and someone would bring a dessert. And we would sign up and we knew, you know. So time of fun, food, and fellowship. Okay? She had the gift of hospitality. She opened her home and her heart to anybody who wanted to come in. Over the years, we had a lot of visitors to play, and she welcomed every one of them. And if something happened and you were supposed to make the main dish and something happened and you couldn't, Sally said, I will. I'll throw something together, and she always did. Or if you couldn't think of what you wanted to bring for dessert or whatever, she was always there to be, well, I don't care. I'll do it. Just don't worry about it. Okay. She didn't like it at all if anything came that disrupted her Friday night card game. And Troy's back there shaking his head. He knows that was about the only thing that would get the hair up on the back of her neck was, why can't we play cards? What's going on? We don't need to do that. We need to be here and play cards. Because that was her outlet. She wasn't a road runner. She didn't go, and she wasn't a big shopper and all of that. She liked her friends and her family. She was a winner. I can tell you that she was a winner. Anybody who played and was her partner a lot of times would be the winners. And she didn't care if she won, unlike some of the girls in the group. She didn't care if she won as long as she could play. And you know how when you come in the church, we all have our spot. That's my spot in the pew. She would come to breakfast, and like I said, she always sat here. Well, she always sat there. There, and then there was here, and there was here. But that was Sally's seat, and it made sense because, like I said a while ago, she had the gift of hospitality. So that chair where she sat all the time was the closest one to the kitchen, so that if anybody needed anything, she could get up and go serve her guests. And that's why nobody ever sat in that spot. I think if we kept all the scores over the years, and I wish we had them now, it would have just been fun. I bet that she won more card games than she lost. I don't care who her partner was. I can tell you that she loved her kids and was very proud of her kids. She loved her home. She loved Pastor Jay and this church, as he's already said, and she loved her God. I learned volumes from her, as I'm sure that we all did in one way or another. I didn't think I was done learning from Sally. I didn't want to be done learning from Sally, but apparently God has different ideas. She was always there for me, and I knew it. Now she's won the race, and she's with her Lord and her Savior. He's our Lord and our Savior, too, if we let him in like she did. So just know, Troy, that she's waiting for us to get there. And as Troy said, I'm a misser every day. That's not a spot that can be filled easily. I loved her. I still do.
I didn't know Sally well, but I knew Sally. And I appreciate Sally very much. When I first met her, her and Phyllis came to church. At least they used to sit together. I see Phyllis back there now. I always thought of Phyllis as the sassy one and Sally as the gentle one. I think I'm pretty right on that assessment after listening to Mary. I so enjoyed Sally because of her demeanor, very gentle and easy to sit with. And I would sit occasionally with her and Phyllis and have a little talk. Phyllis did most of the talking, but like Mary said, Sally was listening intently and nodding her head and so forth. But she ministered to me just by her acceptance of me. And so I thank her for that. Troy, I just want to say, I don't know you from the man in the moon, but I appreciate you coming up and sharing this morning. It takes a big man to lift his mom up like that. So, nice job. There was a passage of scripture this morning that I heard on a TV station that I listened to before coming to church. And this pastor shared a verse out of Malachi, and I just want to read that with you. It goes like this: surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. And this pastor went on to share that this world we live in, this sin-tainted world that's like a stall for us. It's a cushy one at times, but it's like a stall where we're cramped. Our freedom is not given to us completely because we live in this sin-broken world. And so our achy bodies and the troubles and struggles that we encounter, as Troy, you mentioned, your mom encountered several through her life. This is all pent up, but the word says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. At the point that we leave this planet, those who revere the name of Jesus will go out and leap like a calf who has been pent up, and he's just going to dance and jump around the field and run around trying to catch his tail, and he's so excited, so happy that he has this new freedom. His body is restored, as happy as can be. That's your mom right now. How could we not want that for her? We want that for all of us. And the message says that for those who revere the name of Jesus, that's our lot in life. That's where we're headed for. So I celebrate Sally today because she revered the Lord. It was very evident. There's also a backstory to this, or the backside of that. And this leaping and running around in excitement at the end of death here on earth won't be for everybody, because the converse is that there's another place that we could be headed, and it's not a pretty spot. That's why we as Christians, as believers in the Lord, we want to be out sharing the good news. The good news is because there's bad news for those who don't love Jesus. So I just want to encourage, if there's somebody here today that hasn't gotten to that point where you revere the name of Jesus, that you would consider that, because the consequences are dire. But we celebrate today with Sally because she revered Jesus. And I just want you to know that his word is so comforting. He penned these words so that we could comfort one another with them. So Troy, I just invite you. I see Phyllis, and then I see Don, and there's a little space right there. It's kind of like right where Sally used to sit. There's a place for you and for your family, for sure. But above everything else, remember that Sally revered Jesus, and to me that just makes me smile. And I'm so glad that I could be a part of her life. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Mike. Anybody else? Uh-oh, here comes somebody else. Sheila.
Mike, thanks for sharing that. Perfect. Just perfect. Okay, Fred and I have been here about 4 years. We're in our fourth year. We moved from the beautiful Gogebic County that has snow right now, I think. Anyway, I would say that I know Sally since for about 2 to 3 years. And yes, she was quiet. But, you know, she did have a lot of wisdom. And, you know, there are many times when I would ask her something, especially about body issues like her shoulder or something, because I feel stuff in my shoulder. And medical things, she really had a grip on all of that kind of thing. And I really appreciated all of that. And you know what? She wasn't always quiet. There were a couple of times after her surgery in her shoulder that I would pick her up and take her somewhere. And you know when there are only two of you in the car? She talks. And you know, that's a good way to get to know people a little bit better, because there's not a whole bunch of others, you know, and she has to talk. But I came to love Sally a lot. I appreciated her wisdom when she did speak, and I knew she loved the Lord because she talked of him as well. And I will miss her, as all of you will, and especially her family will miss her. But like Mike said, you know, we know where she is. She's leaping like a calf out of the pen. And oftentimes Fred will say, I feel trapped. And sometimes we trap ourselves too, but he feels trapped. And he says he's ready to go anytime. So, and I guess we should have that looking forward to the happiness that we're going to feel and the freedom. So that's all I've got to say. I have no more.
Well, first of all, Mary said about everything I wanted to say. So there's not a whole lot more than I can say. I think the Bible study that Carolyn leads, my sister, was going on when I moved up here about 5 years ago or something. And I started going there, and Sally was there, and I was accepted unconditionally. And I think that was because I was her sister, because they didn't know me from Adam. So I've been in that group ever since, and I don't know how long the card group has gone on, but Sally was a staple. She was there. Well, just remember what Carolyn said. If I needed a ride to church, or if I needed a ride to Bible study, all I need to do is pick up the phone and call her. And for Diana also, she picked Diana up. So I'm going to have to make sure I've got my car on Sunday mornings, so I can come without needing a ride. But Sally's going to be missed. You couldn't believe the cook she was and the baker she was. I mean, she'd bake dinner rolls for some of our dinners sometime, and I could just take the whole thing home. She wouldn't let me, but I could. And I'm not necessarily the sassy one. I talked because she wouldn't. And you can't just stand there or sit there and let Mike say everything and not talk back. So if Sally wasn't going to talk, I had to.
But,
fine. I loved her, and I'm going to miss her. And I'm in church, and that's the truth. All right.
Mine's just short and sweet. I'm so glad we're here this morning. Sorry. We've been struggling with what to do and how to honor Sally. We couldn't decide if coming to church was the right way to honor her, because we're together in a place where we all love and we all just feel like we're family. And you just don't know what's going to happen. And I think of you ladies and how you were together so innocently and this happened. And we've lost Sally. But we don't blame each other for it. It just happens. And it's just so hard to know in this crazy world what we're supposed to be doing. But I'm so glad this morning I opened up an email and there was this thing about what that had a song come on. It was talking about how our church is where it starts. It's where we end. It's where we dedicate our babies. It's where we laugh. It's where we play. It's where we do the things that are most important to us. And Mike and I looked at each other and said, we're going. We're going because this is where we should be. But the thing about Sally is, you know, she was so quiet. And it was hard to kind of get to know her. But my goodness, every time I talked to her, I left church feeling so good. And she was an awesome cook. And every time we got together, I'd be, who made this? Sally. And I'm so blessed to have several recipes that I asked her for in her own handwriting now that I keep in my little cabinet next to all my mom's and my grandma's recipes. And I've made those bacon-wrapped chestnuts. I don't know if anybody's had those or knows what I'm talking about, but my goodness, those are from heaven. And I made those for all my kids at Christmas or Thanksgiving or sometime last year, and they were like, these are a staple at our family get-togethers now. So I want you to know when Sally passed, and I texted the kids and I told them that we lost the lady with the bacon-wrapped chestnuts, and they were all so sad. So just knowing that her legacy's going on and will forever in each one of us is just, it's just precious. So I think about you, Troy, and I think about your family, and I know this is really hard, but the first thing I thought of when I got all those late night emails to send out to you for the prayer requests and everything, and I'd get up and I'd look before I'd go to bed, and sometimes it'll 11 or 12 o'clock and we're getting an update and she's in the hospital or she's doing something. And the first thing I thought about when I got that one from Mary that said we lost her was, thank God she's in heaven and she's not dealing with this anymore. So I just praise the Lord that she's there with him and she's okay.
I'm Troy's wife. Sally was my mother-in-law. She was such a wonderful lady. She opened her heart and her house to myself and my daughter after Troy and I got married. She always took such good care of us. She was a baker. She loved to bake. She'd always have dessert every day. And once that one started running low, she'd be like, okay, what do you guys want me to make next? You know, she took really good care of all of us. And I wish there was more that I would have done. But I can't hold in the regrets. And I really wish that she was still here. I'm just a mess, I'm sorry. I really love Sally, and home is not the same without her. But okay, that's all I had to say. I really love her, and I'm glad that she had the support system that she had. So thank you guys.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about Sally this last week, like we all have. But the last time we met for for Bible study, she talked a lot about losing her child, losing her husband. She never usually talked about that, but she talked about things I never heard her talk about before. Not a lot, but just a little bit. And then on Friday night when we met for cards, that's the last time we all met. And she said, I'll make the supper and the dessert this time. and that's never happened before. I really think she had a feeling that she was something was going to change. And I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it says, it talks about death, and when you get up in the 30 and 40, in the chapter of 15, and it says, there is a natural body, which I'm standing up here in my natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And Sally is now experiencing her spiritual body. When my husband passed away, my little grandkids said, Grandpa didn't go to heaven, he's right there. So I started looking up scripture to confirm the fact that, yes, the spirit leaves the body, the spiritual part of you, and goes directly to be with the Lord if you're a believer. And that's where Sally is. And we couldn't wish her back. She wouldn't. Not that she doesn't love everybody, but she wouldn't want to leave where she is now. So someday we'll all experience that. And to me, it made me feel better. I don't know if it helps anybody else, but it did help me. And we are, the group of us, I think there's either 8 or 10 of us that have been meeting together for so long. We're like family. When one hurts, we all hurt. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a connection like that. But Sally will be missed, but I can't wish her back because I envy her where she is. That's all.
Well, you know, it's a small room. I got more time. And there's a few more people. Don't hold it back. I was thinking the other day about leaves on twigs. A leaf is born and it grows to its full size and it's green and it's the light reflects from the sun off of the leaf and you look at it and you go, wow, isn't that pretty? And then the time comes, you get the idea that that's the full bloom. The time comes when the weather changes and the sap changes and the leaf starts to turn colors, looking more regal, actually. And then the day comes when the wind blows and somehow the leaf lets go of the twig it was attached to and it graciously floats down to the ground. And scripture kind of describes you and I like that. Job 14:1, man who is born of a woman is of, and most men have been, is, I guess in today's world though, you can get an argument, is of few days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower, just like that leaf I described, and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. So we come out like a flower, you and I, and we appear on stage, and when our time on earth is over, we look back at those that have passed and we contemplate what they did. And we are able to identify where their significant contributions appear to have been. But you really can't see it until the end. Like I was intimating earlier, I didn't really understand the full impact of Sally until I couldn't talk to her again. And I instead had to talk to those who she was close to. And then it became apparent. We were looking together in Luke chapter 2 yesterday, those that gathered for the prayer breakfast, and we looked at a few people who knew when Jesus was coming. And what was surprising is that only a few people knew. Mary and Joseph knew because they were informed by an angel, the Messiah is coming, and in fact, he's going to come from you. The shepherds knew because an angel visited the shepherds, so they knew. godly, devout Simeon knew, because he was praying and an angel spoke to him and said, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. But then there was another person that knew, the prophetess Anna knew. And Anna was only referred to in that passage, and so is the case with Simeon, just in that passage. And we didn't know, and they were full of years, it said. And we didn't know what their full impact was going to be until Jesus came on the scene. And we get that little glimpse into their life. And now we know, even though Anna lived to be 84 plus years old, that her major contribution was going to happen right there at age 84, when her prayers turned to reality, when her prayers were answered. She was praying for the coming Messiah, that he should come, that she wanted him to come. And there he was. And so her talk turned from prayer, turned from supplication to, let me tell you about Jesus. And it says in the scripture, she never departed from the temple and continuously gave witness to those who were looking for the Redeemer, Jesus. So she was identifying those that she could discern were looking for the Redeemer, and then would talk to them, hey, the Messiah's here. And the same thing happened with Sally. I know she was full of years. She was 78. And I realized she has done many other things in her life. But one of the things that I started to think about, I started to call her, I gave her a nickname privately as I was studying, Sally the Hospitable One, as Mary alluded to earlier. I was struck by the fact that this party kept happening at her house. And why was it so comfortably positioned there? And what would draw people there? And why did these 10 women like to and want to be together? And I think it's because they needed to be together. I think there was a loneliness. I think there was, I think there was a desire for fellowship. I think they not only enjoyed one another, but they were getting from one another. And so the impact that she had was to facilitate that. I remember trying to understand her, so I took her to dinner with, I think BJ went, and I forget, were you with us too, Phyllis, I think? Don't get mad at me, but I took three ladies to the Stone House. If you weren't one of the three, I'm sorry. Yeah, you were one of them, okay. Phyllis was one of them, now I recall. Man, I would have gotten in trouble. I had to take you to Stonehouse, I bet. But I was trying to get to know her there, and I didn't break through, you know. It just didn't happen. And but then I just started, like Deb, I started talking to her and looking into her eyes, and she had a presence. And her presence was communicating to me. When I would see her sitting back there in the spot that's now open, it was saying something to me. Some people just go to church because that's where they go to church. Somebody hauled them there, and they don't feel like finding a different place. But Sally was the kind of person who was discernful. She was sitting in that pew because she approved, because she knew this was where she wanted to be, and she was being fed, she was making a statement. Some people aren't making a statement. She was, and that's the impact that she had on me. I'm so thankful that she had that impact on you. We fly away. We sing that song, Some Glad Morning. When this life is over, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. in 2008, I had the privilege of being asked to sing a song at her husband's funeral 12 years ago. And I had not yet spoken one word to her until after that service. My father-in-law was performing the funeral for her husband. And she requested a song that we're now going to sing all four verses of, and it's, "I Am Thine, O Lord." And so let's rise, can we, and sing that.
Closing prayer, it's sort of neat to hear all these reflections from you people, and you know, Sally was, like everybody says, she was a very quiet lady. However, she spoke so loud through her life and death, and so we'll always remember her for that. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we've spent together to celebrate Sally's life, to celebrate the place that she's at right now, that we can rest in peace, that Sally is well taken care of. Father, we know that this is not the end for her, but it's the beginning of life everlasting with our Savior. And so If you don't know him today, Father, we just pray for those lost souls that someday we will be together with Sally again. We thank you for that faith that Troy talked about, Father. So often faith wavers when circumstances come into our life. And Father, we need to be strong in our faith and don't waver. Father, we are the ones that are left behind, and to face our trials and tribulations here on earth. We can just rest in peace that you're our Savior, and that no matter what happens, that we will always get through it with you at our right hand. So as we are left behind, Father, we just pray that we might grow in our faith, and as we go from here, and keep our memories alive of Sally and the reflection that she left of her life on us, that we may reflect that also in our living. So be with us as we part from here, and we thank you so much for Sally's life and what she has, the impact that she left on this church and these people. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.